Hey, what's up, guys? Here we are back again with the Cardboard Cave Podcast, and I'm very gladly to say to all of you that we officially have our own Twitch channel. So right now you can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Plus, if you can't watch us, you can listen to us. Go to your favorite podcast platform and look for us as Cardboard Cave MTG or Cardboard Cave Podcast. By that, you can go ahead and listen to our show every Friday at 8:30. I was going to say at noon. But as well, guys, you know that every time our show goes live on the audio format, either Saturdays or Sundays, so just pay attention to our social media. Like that, you guys can get up to date on what happens in the Magic the Gathering community, as well as some cool memes that we sometimes post, deck lists, and much more content for you guys in the future. So expect us to have more content in terms that we're going to be planning more streams, like that you guys can see what all of us or some of us play MTG Arena, or if some of us have like a mobile station, we can go ahead and stream cardboard magic with you guys. So last week you guys saw us play some Commander. They didn't let me play Golos, so I'm right now brewing up another Super Friends Commander for the next Commander night. So let's see how that goes. But let's continue, guys, with one of our hosts that is from the show, because sadly tonight we don't have Orengo nor Chris. Orengo right now is in his page doing a review for Halloween Kills, and Chris, we still don't know where he is. Probably he's in a cave with his little gang of goblins. So here we go. Further ado, we have the master of the cube, the mono black, not that much anymore because he now plays Boros apparently. Commander player, here we go, the one and only JP.
Chris is in a party. They've been planning this part, like he's like been invited to the party for like a month, and he's like been super excited. He straightened his hair. Yes. What? All that hair, straightened. Imagine that.
I can't believe that.
He just flipped his hair. It just went all over. It was majestic. He did that.
So sadly today, I totally forgot to put this episode 31. Yeah. So it's episode 31. And if you guys see the title, it's really, really interesting title, because we're going to be talking about the new Midnight Hunt set. And as well, we're going to talk about the bans and that happened, the rebalancing in MTG Arena. Plus, we have a new secret layer drop already announced. I think we should touch bases on that first, because I think that is like the most
I was thinking of maybe like leaving that for last, but if you want to go for that first, then
let's go with that one first. I'm gonna go ahead and share let me share the screen right here. Can I share a window? Yes, I can. Sahakiti, there we go. So JP, here we go. We got the October super drop. That is really odd, because normally the drops are announced early in the month, and we're halfway through the month.
I mean, I was expecting an October super drop at least.
You weren't expecting it?
No, I was. Like,
oh, you were?
Especially for like it's spooky season. You can put all the spooky cards or the themes. There's a lot of themes you can fuse with that. I'm expecting probably maybe one for like December or January Christmas.
If they do one for December, I don't care if the cards are bad. If they are Christmas theme, I need them all. But JP, before we continue with seeing the drops, because we know that a lot of people are super excited, and people are talking a lot about one of these drops, because one of these drops, remember, it's a collaboration drop, and these are legal cards that can be used in some formats. Plus they're broken as heck, some of them. But in a scale of 1 through 10, how much rating do you give this drop? do you like it or you do not like it?
I give it I'm not sure how I feel about it out of 10. It's okay. Like, I hate one of them.
Okay.
I like the really like another of them. So it's like, and I dislike, like, it's like, it's on a spectrum.
It's
like, I hate one, I like one. I dislike one, and I'm okay with the other. And it's just,
it's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah. Because okay. let's just go through them, and we can give each one a rating.
Good. So this is the first one that they announced, obviously, because it's the hype that this is the collaboration. We all know that Wizard of the Coast is making a lot of collabs with different brands, starting with Stranger Things. We have the Street Fighter, Fortnite ones that we still don't know when they're coming out. The first one was The Walking Dead. That one sold pretty well. And right now, those cards are bonkers in price. So... plus, if it's a sealed box. So, yeah, these collaborations, at least this is what I say. If you don't want to play these cards, at least buy them. Keep them in a binder or don't open it and just keep it. Because these cards are going to be... people have to understand that these are limited print. So, they print what the demands are. So... whatever they print first, they're not going to reprint these again. So it's really interesting.
I have a little asterisk, like a little, you know, caveat to add to that is like, if you live in a humid area, maybe don't. Because if you keep them in a box, they'll curl up like a Pringle.
Yeah. That's why.
Bad.
That's why when I bought my Thalia secret layer, I quadruple sleeved it. And they're flat.
It's just
thank
inner
God.
Sleeve, normal sleeve, over
exactly.
Sleeve, and then the hardcover.
Exactly.
Just keep it as flat as possible.
Okay.
So let's go through them.
So let's go through them. We have the whole gang, and we have Jim Hopper, and plus we have a token, plus the Mind Flayer. So let's start with the first three that came out. They're not in order because Mike was one of the first ones that... oh, no, wait. Yeah, was it Mike? Yeah, Mike was one of the... so, we have Jim Hopper. Let me see if I can put this
enhance.
A little bit much more... well,
enhance.
There you go.
Enhance.
Much better. Enhance.
There you go.
So, let's start with Jim Hopper. What we'll do is that I'll read one, you read one, and then and we move forward. Because, guys, the ones... people, if you guys want to talk about these cards, just go ahead... talk to us in the chat. We will highlight your comment, and as well, if you have any ideas and you want what ideas of commander you have with these cards, just tell us. You know, then the other thing is that the rest of the cards of the secret lair, they're really easy to explain. We can just rant about what they did in terms of those drops, because I have a rant in one of them. But you know, so Chief Jim Hopper is Boros and two. He's a human soldier. He has menace. He has whenever Jim Hopper attacks, investigate once for each non-creature, non-token attacking creature. It has a new mechanic that's called Friends Forever, that it's technically speaking its partner, but with a different name. And it says you can have two commanders if both have Friends Forever. And then plus he has that little text that says track the rot, see how far it goes, and he's a 4/4 creature that drops for 4.
Okay.
So, I actually like him, but I don't like his effect though.
I don't really care about his effect. His effect is technically card drawing Boros, which is at an acceptable rate. I like that he has menace. Because the actual actor is like, he's actually quite tall, and when you he has had imposing roles, like he just looks like, you know, like a big guy, and he can be menacing. I like that it's investigate. So other than Boros and card draw because of investigate because that's what he does in the entire series.
Exactly.
So it fits the thematic. My problem with, and it's a problem with all of them, Friends Forever. Why couldn't you just call it Friendship?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just call it Friendship? That's it.
I don't know.
It's quite
easy. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was in season one, because I remember that in season one of the kids was going to move. And they did mention, like, oh, we're still friends forever, no matter what. So okay. Probably that's the gimmick.
It's probably a real reference. I can't remember. But for the most part, yeah, the actual card is actually pretty good if you build a go wide strategy with non-tokens, which is not terribly difficult, but not terribly easy. If it were just, say, investigate for each attacking creature instead of the non-token clause, then he would be a lot stronger. But I appreciate the non-token clause because it keeps the power level in check for these cards.
Yes.
And it doesn't make them absolutely bonkers. Anything else to add?
I really do like the whole the cards that even though they're not full art, you can tell that they made like a transparent box, and it looks full art, and I like it. So it looks really nice. I was gonna add that for the cards. Go to the next one.
Dustin, Gadget Genius. He is 2 white and a blue, so 4 mana. For a legendary creature human, he is a 2/3, and he has an ability called Friends Forever. His normal ability is you can tap him to add 2 colorless mana. Spend this mana only to cast artifact spells or activate abilities of artifacts. So, okay. He plays with gadgets in the show. He has all the trinkets. All I'm thinking about as a commander, you play Isochron Scepter and do stuff with it. That's basically my thought immediately, because he adds the 2 mana, and then you have the artifacts, and I don't know. He's just a mana rock for in blue white. He happens to be a good blue white artifact commander, I guess.
That's what I was thinking, because you know that
I don't think there is a really, really good blue white artifact commander, like specifically artifacts.
Exactly, but you think about it, you know that there's this infinite combo with Basalt Monolith and Grim Monolith with the rings of
Earthheart. Yeah, I know.
And then you can use Dustin to pay for the 2 mana for the first time, and then you can go infinite with that.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to use like any other like artifact to get that rolling. So with Dustin you can do it, and you can do your infinite mana and then cast, I don't know, Walking Ballista for a bajillion and kill somebody.
Or everybody.
So the next card is 11, the Mage, Grixis, and 1. So it's 4 mana once again to pay for this card. Legendary creature, human, wizard. Your maximum hand size is 11. Whenever 11 the Mage attacks, you draw a card and you lose 1 life. Then, if you have 11 or more cards in your hand, you may cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand without paying its mana cost. It's a 3/5 with the mechanic Friends Forever. This card, I don't know. I smell trouble, man. I smell trouble.
You smell correctly. It's
Jesus.
It's strong. It's very strong. Like, upsettingly strong. It's another Rick. It's just Rick again.
Yes.
Like, they keep saying they're not going to make them as strong, and that's why I appreciate like Chief Jim Hopper having that non-token attacking creature clause.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin is like just adds mana, and it has a restriction. It doesn't specifically just add mana.
Exactly.
But this one's like it's not that hard. If you're in blue, you're in black, you're in red. This is just you can draw so many cards.
Exactly.
That's not
it's
a
like
problem.
Oopsie, I'm in 11 cards. A blasphemous act.
I mean, Blasphemous can cost one mana. Blasphemous Axe can cost one mana. I'm thinking more like Expropriate.
Oh God, yes.
Just for free. I take another turn. What do you guys decide? Do I take another turn or do I steal something? Do you steal their stuff? You take another turn. Oh look, I have another turn. Maybe I do it again. You're casting stuff for free.
Exactly.
You just set up card draw, and it's broken.
And then the other thing is, it's a 3/5, so it has a big butt.
Yeah. It can block for days.
So exactly.
My hope again, because they have said it, but since they said it, but haven't like fully gone through with it yet, I'm really still hoping they print these cards as normal Magic cards instead of just the Secret Lair versions.
Yeah.
Because they did say they were going to do it because of the backlash, and that just quelled all of the backlash. It was like, okay, we're this is acceptable, goodbye. And the whole conversation about that, even though a lot of people were still kind of pissed, was for the most part done. But this just raises the conversation again. Like, it's like, this card is strong. If they don't print this somewhere, then this is a problem, because the price is going to be exorbitantly, like, just way too high.
Yep, that is completely correct. So, let's go for the next one, the next three cards.
Okay, we got Lucas the Sharpshooter for a blue and a red, so two mana. Legendary creature, human. You can tap him to sacrifice an artifact. Lucas Sharpshooter deals one damage to target creature. Goad that creature. Until your next turn, that creature attacks each combat if able, and attacks a player other than you, if able. And yes, friends forever. He's a 1/3. I hate him.
Why?
Because I don't want to buy this, but he is a sacrifice. He has the sacrifice ability, and he's blue-red. He's literally the one card in the entirety of Magic that can sacrifice an artifact in blue and red, specifically. And that is a legendary creature.
Okay.
I want to build him.
Okay.
But I hate that he's Lucas the Sharpshooter. So I hate him, but I want to build him. Also, I kind of used most of my artifacts for Ozgear, most of my good artifacts at least. So
yeah.
I don't know. I hate him, but I love him, but I hate him. Next card.
So it's Max the Daredevil is Gruul, 4/1, legendary human. I mean, legendary creature human has haste. And it says, whenever you cast your second spell, each turn, untap target creature, then investigate. It has the same mechanic as Friends Forever, and it's a 3/2. I just want to say something. This is the only card that I do not like the art. They could have done... Yeah, they could have done better for Max in terms of, like, you notice that each character
looks at, has, yeah, like, a it. Has you can see their proper face properly.
Exactly. And in her, it's like,
I don't
like it. You know, it doesn't have the same aesthetics as the other cards.
Yeah, I can see it.
I would say this though, I like the card because it's whenever you cast your second spell each turn.
If you find a way to make your stuff flash, which there is in green, like green creature flash, just the artifact that makes your stuff flash. There's a land that can make your stuff flash. If you just within instants and sorceries, finding good effects that tap, and so you can untap and tap them.
Yeah, like
two spells a turn. Sorry, something cantrip, because red cantrips are good, and some of their instant speed.
Which commander I thought, you know, that popular, the commander that they did in game nights, that it was the werewolf?
Tobalar?
Yeah. Because if you have him as a commander, or the other way around, because obviously Max is a human, so it kind of like does not go with the theme, but if you have her, you play her, and you have those enchantments that let you play with Flash, and you can add, let's say, a Seaborn Muse to untap, and then you can go ahead and go crazy playing werewolves. And there you go. You have a draw engine because you will have investigate, and you will have the mana to cast and to crack draw. To draw.
Yeah, no,
it can go bonkers.
I like this design space. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So the next card is Mike, the Dungeon Master. He is one green and a white, so three mana. Legendary creature human, he's a 2/2. You can tap two mana and tap him. You choose target creature card in your graveyard that was put there in the battlefield this turn. Return to the battlefield tapped, and he has French forever. He's just bad Safi.
You know what gets me mad? Safi.
What?
He's Mike the Dungeon Master, and he does not have the venture mechanic.
Oh. You don't venture into the dungeon. Wow. You could just added it at the end of the text, just venture into the dungeon.
Exactly.
Oh, that makes me upset now. Oh.
I've in one of the groups that I am in Facebook for Magic, a lot of people were complaining about this. Like, how can you have him as Mike the Dungeon Master, but he does not have the venture mechanic? And the good thing is that you could have kept, okay, this is just me being kind of crazy, kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Mm-hmm. But Mike is Celestia, and a lot of the cards in the D&D set, most of the good cards are Celestia. So you could have had him as a commander to get venture and to bring back creatures that died. And plus, you can have a good commander with the venture mechanic. No.
Yeah.
No venture mechanic.
One thing I will add is I like the dichotomy that he's green-white.
Mm-hmm.
And 11 is the rest of the colors, like red, black, and blue.
Yeah. If you notice that 11 is Grixis and she only costs 4, but I know that people don't. I know that a lot of our listeners might think like, "Oh my God, these people only talk about Commander." But hey, it is basically true. But
it is what it is. We play Commander. We play a lot of Commander.
Exactly.
I haven't played a pre-release in a while.
Same here. 11 is such a perfect card to use as a partner. If you wanted to mix up with any of the cards,
you can just add 5 colors. Just 5 colors and 11. Oof, that's just
exactly.
That's just asking to be broken.
Correct. So these are the last 3 cards. Well, the last 2 because the clue is the famous alphabet with the lights. I really do love it. I would like to see that card foil. It should look gorgeous. So. The next card is Mind Flayer, the Shadow, is 3/4, and it's 3 black. Legendary enchantment creature horror. Mind Flayer, the Shadow, isn't a creature unless you control 3 or more permanents you don't own. At the beginning of your end step, exile the bottom card of each opponent's library face down. For as long as those cards remain exiled, you may look at them. You may cast a permanent spell from among them, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast those spells. And it's a 9/9. And it costs only 7 mana. What do you think?
That's a fun card.
It doesn't have friends forever, so you can't.
That's a fun card. So
I know, right?
What I'm thinking, and it's just my immediate train of thought, he's 4/4 and 3 black for a 9/9, and he's a horror.
Yes.
My brain goes
steal stuff.
My brain goes to, okay, if they're gonna make this into another card, Phyrexian. Mm-hmm. Phyrexian. That is a Phyrexian. beautiful.
No, but just imagine this, you know? Just imagine this. Let's say that you play it, right? Nobody counter it because, you have to wait until you have three cards, right? So
I mean, that, just stealing the stuff from the opponent is bad enough already.
The thing is that it says at the beginning of your end step, so it's every end step you steal a card from your opponent.
I mean, yeah, your end step, so you get value immediately.
Exactly. But the thing is, if you mix that with something that gives flash...
Yeah, you could start playing... I mean, you did probably play 7 mana for this, so the probability that you still have more mana is...
It's very low, yeah. It's very low, but you as a black player, as a mono black player, you know that you have Cabal.
Oh yeah, mana is not an issue. Card draw is the issue.
So just imagine first end step, you grab the cards under your opponent's bottom of the deck. Imagine that they're like low cost artifacts or mana rocks. And then it says here that it does not become a creature until you have three or more. So it's like...
It's still a legendary enchantment creature. So yeah, it would be a legendary enchantment anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It's just basically acting like if it were a god.
Yeah, exactly.
Fitting.
It's a
fitting
card.
It's fitting. So yeah. It's a very strong card. It's the second strong, but like it's the second strongest. 11 is still way stronger.
Oh yeah, 11 is still broken.
So now we have Will the Wise. White and a black. So 2 mana. He is the legendary creature human. He's a 1/2. When he enters or leaves the battlefield, each opponent may investigate. Each opponent who doesn't loses 1 life. You investigate X times, where X is 1 plus the number of opponents who investigated this way. He has Friends Forever. So are we gonna mention the little Easter egg on
God. Okay, so let's go ahead and explain this to people.
So it's a fan theory that Will is queer. It hasn't been confirmed. As far as I'm concerned, it hasn't been confirmed.
But if you
just read, he has little flags, and they have letters. It just says H O M, Will's head, and then O, so it's just homo.
Yeah,
it's actually quite hilarious.
I'm so sad for whoever drew that card. Oh my god. It's like, didn't you check this before submitting it?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it should say like homecoming or something like that.
Yeah, probably it's saying homecoming.
But.
Because if I'm not mistaken, season 2, I think it is. Yeah, because we're going to season 4 now.
Is it season 4?
So, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it is season 4. I'm not sure neither. But whatever season we're going to, I think it was in season 2 that they do go to homecoming. If it's not season 2, it's season 3. It's one of those two. They go to homecoming. And that's when Will is in the, what was it called? The other side?
The upside down.
The upside down. Okay. So those are the Stranger Things collaboration. They will be in foil and non-foil. You will be able to get the non-foil for $39.99 or foil for $49.99. And as well, if you guys want, there is a Sundrop package that will include everything of the drop if you guys want to buy the whole drop. So the next drop is Mirrodin Sanity. The artifact lands in pixel form. Why you hate it?
Because they're beautiful lands, but they're all cheap as fuck. They're worth nothing. How much is it worth to buy that?
$29.99 and $40 if you want it foil.
Exactly. Next. that's just me. If you want to talk about them, because the art is beautiful. The art is absolutely beautiful.
If this is something that I would go and get this, I would get this one just because of the art. I go gaga for things that look 80-ish. So I love this. This goes. But the thing is that these are lands that I'm not going to use. And so they're going to be like in the box.
Mm-hmm. They're still probably worthless. The normal ones don't cost anything. They got reprinted several times already.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not salty.
Okay. Next one is called Monster Anatomy 101. It's the art of some reprints with anatomy. It looks really interesting. They're all cards that we have seen before in Standard and in Commander.
I dislike.
You like it or no?
I dislike that there isn't a black creature. This black isn't represented in there. True.
That's completely true.
Fleet Swallower is quite a bad card. You could have chosen something better.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Fleet Swallower, it's not an expensive card, but I think that in Commander, a lot of people use it when it's for milling.
Mill decks aren't that popular.
I know.
As far as I'm concerned, Ilharg is beautiful, amazing. He's a god. He has a sun.
Goblin Trash Master. This one, the Goblin, I think that Goblin Trash Master would love fine. It.
It's okay, yeah. Protein Hulk, amazing, beautiful. I love him.
Sun Avatar.
There's five colors in Magic, but they chose two red cards and then a triple colored card, barely missing white, barely, and missing black completely. There's several creatures you could choose in black that are big that probably require explanation for their anatomy. It would have been funny to see like Necrotic Ghouls is just blob. There's nothing. Like,
yeah.
Anatomy. Blob. There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
Or just death. Something like that. Well, I don't know.
Sadly, this one does not come in regular foil. It comes in foil etched. Does this one go? Okay, this one comes in traditional. The one with the pixels. So the next one.
Wait. So again. Okay. Don't you think it's weird that they didn't choose anything in white? If they chose Gishath's Sun's Avatar, that's fine. That's the big dino. You know, big dino, okay, fine. But Zetalpa is a dino. I understand Zetalpa's been printed a lot more. It's the one legendary dino that's been printed, but it's mono white.
True.
Like, at least it's mono white.
I think that the incorrect approach of these is that they didn't make like one of each color.
Yeah.
It's like you mentioned. It's like two red, one blue, one green, and one three-colored card.
It should have just been one of each color and better of each color. It's just Ilharg is a great choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a god. So he's a boar god. So having like the sun in the stomach, that looks amazing. Anatomy is like, his anatomy's weird because he's a god.
Yeah.
I understand goblins, but goblin anatomy shouldn't differ that much from human anatomy. I'm pretty sure I've met a few goblins in this life. just roaming around, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, like, really, I don't like this one. I don't like it. So the next one is Monster Movie Marathon.
I think this is the one I like.
This is the one with four cards with the movie poster style.
I like it because it's very experimental. The movie poster is like very like old school. I like how just say it's like Blasphemous Act. And it's just the mana cost and then just says the damage on top and then the art. I don't know. It just looks cool, man. Beast Within is okay. It's fitting for like a werewolf.
Then it's Dismember and grabs Digger's Cage.
Also very nice. I like the arts. I don't feel like I would ever run them though, because I would just like appreciate the art but not actually want to use it.
I think these cards, I wouldn't buy the boxes. Again, it's 30, 40, I would just wait until they're available in TCG Player.
Money-wise, they're not. It's not worth it at all.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the most expensive one is Dismember. It's like $5.
Maybe, because it's basically one mana, -5/-5 to a creature.
Mm-hmm. And then this one, Beast Within, is a card that they reprint a lot in Commander, so...
Yeah.
So it's weird. Redefine Print is the next drop. It's like the Liliana's contract with all of the demons.
Oh yeah, the four demons she made deals with. Demon yep. Lord Bell's Unlock, Gristlebrand, Kotofed, and Razakath.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Liliana's contract. The arts, the art styles, as in having the black and white with the gold, is really smart. Having Liliana be the only one with the purple is also really smart.
Actually, the demons have details in purple.
True. Okay. But each one of, like, Gristlebrand being the strongest one, definitely a lot of people would enjoy having a blinged out Gristlebrand. Unfortunately, he's banned in Commander, but he's non-banned in anywhere else that where he would be not otherwise legal in. Razakath is actually pretty good too, so he's a tutor on a stick. Which one
I like them. I like them because
it says
of
Liliana's
the art.
Contract. But I'm wasn't there another one that was the 4-mana Liliana contract thing?
I can't remember.
Yes, it was like you lose the game on it. Yeah, it says you lose the game. I know it was black. I know it's mana cost equals 2 black.
It was with Liliana?
Black. Search. Demonic Pact.
Oh, okay.
This is the card I felt they should have used instead of Liliana's contract. I understand that Liliana's contract is like, oh yeah, she is the one that made the contract. But this is literally the same thing as in you make, it has 4 abilities, one for each of the demons. And one of them says, you lose the game, which is fitting. I feel like that would have been more fitting than Liliana's contract.
Okay, I understand.
But at the same time, I understand why Liliana's contract, because again, she says if you have 4 or more demons with different names,
exactly,
you win the game. Maybe
that was the theme.
It both work, but I feel like I would have preferred Demonic Pact.
Okay, so let's go to the next one. This one actually comes in foil etched, traditional foil, and non-foil. And this one is Showcase Midnight Hunt with the lands that have like abilities.
They're the original from original Innistrad block. Each color pairing had a land that had an ability. So more land hunt. It's a land. It taps for colorless, and you can pay white and a blue, tap it, exile creature card from your graveyard, and you create a spirit token with flying.
Vault of the Archangel, taps for colorless, and it is has white, black, and 2 tap. Creatures you control gain death touch and lifelink until end of turn.
Then we have Nephalia Drownyard. It's tap 1 and blue and a black. Tap target player mills 3 cards, which is nice that they're using their keyword with mill. Now that's like actual officially there.
I love that card because it makes people mill. The next one, Desolate Lighthouse. It's it will be blue, red, and 1. Draw a card, then discard a card and tap. I forgot to say tap.
So then Stencia Blood Hall. It taps for colorless, and then you can also 3 black, red, and tap it to deal 2 damage to target creature. To target player or planeswalker.
And then we got the next one, Grim Backwoods. It's black, green, and two. Tap, sacrifice a creature, draw a card.
Kissable from you can tap it for a colorless, and you can pay X red green and tap it. Target creature gets plus X plus zero and gains trample until end of turn.
Mm-hmm. Slayer's Stronghold is tap colorless, then Boros tap. Target creature gets plus two plus O and gains vigilance at the end and haste until end of turn.
And then Gavany Township, it has colorless. Or you can just two green and a white, tap it, put plus one counter on each creature you control.
Good card. Then the other one, Alchemist Refuge. You will pay green and blue. Tap, you may cast spells this turn as though as they had flash.
So it's interesting how I feel like maybe the actual cards aren't expensive, but the art is just so damn good that I feel like... That it would be worth it. It's just really beautiful art, man. Every single one of them.
It is gorgeous art. So the next, I think this is the last one. Yes, this is the last one. Thrilling Tales of the Undead has three cards: Grave Crawler, Death, Liliana, Death Majesty, and Rise of the Dark Realm.
All three are pretty damn good cards in Commander. Gravecrawler sees some play in other formats. Rise of the Dark Realms is an expensive, it's actually quite expensive, so this actually might be worth the money. Finally, they decided to reprint Liliana's Death Majesty, which is the one planeswalker that's been reprinted. The one Liliana that's been reprinted the most.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, it's been reprinted in an intro, like it was like one of those pre-built decks, a Commander precon. I think two Commander precons, because she appears in the Zombies one, but I'm pretty sure she appears in others. But yeah, she's been reprinted quite a few times, so that's kind of disappointing. Gravecrawler is a great card because right now it shot up in price because of the new Zombie Commander, and a lot of those Zombie cards have shot up in price for like a lot.
Yeah.
So it's a great great buy. Also, the art is like Marilyn Manson dead, and it's kind of funny that it's just there. It's like, yeah.
She'll get revenge or die trying.
That's just the little thing the card says.
Yeah.
So, this is nice.
This one costs $30 and 40 foil.
So maybe I think it's still worth it because in the end, Rise of the Dark Realms and Gravecrawler have shot up in price.
Okay.
In general. What do you think? Like, what do we want to give this?
Okay,
like,
so
I want to give it, like, now that I've seen through it all, I give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay, so just in case for everybody that's listening to us, if you want the what's it called, Bootacular bundle, that it will include you eight foil packs and the rest of them non-foil as well. It will cost you a hefty nice tag of $449.99. But usually this is not the original price, because sometimes when you go to the secret lair, they do have like certain like specials.
Discounts, yeah.
Yeah, discounts. Okay, so yeah, the discount is $449.99. there you go.
So 1 out of 10, what do you give it?
Oh man. To be honest, I will give it a 5. The reason why I give it a 5 is that I would have liked a different Liliana, and I would have liked more cards themed out like this in this art. The other one that I am like, I love it, but I wish that they were, you know, instead of 4 or 5, was this one, because the art looks amazing. I love anything that has to do with movies. I'm intrigued.
now that you gave yours a 5, I feel like I have to retrace mine, because I criticized it. I criticized this one a lot more, and realized, and just talking about it in general, I just really like the Lands one. The Lands one is like,
no, this one is
so beautiful. They're so beautiful, but that's the only thing that's carrying it in my mind.
Okay, in my mind,
I hate those lands.
In my mind, what's carrying is the collab, because I like Secret Lairs when they do collabs. So, because they're unique cards, that's why I like them.
I just hate that 11 is that strong.
Oh no, 11 is ridiculous strong, like stupid strong. It's like so strong that it worries me.
Yes.
So
100%.
So guys, this is the October Super Drop, and it's amazing. It's amazing, but again, the price tag, it's not amazing. I didn't see this. The Extra Life 2021 with the new collaboration. Oh man, so these are the new sleeves. Let me see playmat. Oh, it's Halloween theme. Looks so cool. I have the one from last year, so. To get this is really easy. The only thing you have to do is donate directly to the Magic the Gathering Extra Life page, and they will send you the code for Arena for the sleeves. And all of this, you can get it at MTG Pro Shop. If you're from Puerto Rico, the shipping will be very expensive, because the shop thinks that you're international. So I would recommend find a family member in the States and ship that to the States, like that they can ship it back to you. It's a little bit less. So next thing, bans and cards that have been banned, restricted. What do you think about this, JP?
Yeah, let's go through it first, because I have a lot of words. So standard, it's just standard, no changes.
No changes.
Modern, no changes. Legacy, no changes. Okay.
Popper,
no changes. None. Commander.
Brawl,
no changes. Okay.
No changes.
Now that those are out of the way, historic.
Changes.
Trickery is banned in historic. Memory lapse is suspended in historic, which let me say now, it will be banned in historic. And brainstorm, what did I tell? I just want to just a little clip of what I said last time. You guys said, oh no, brainstorm isn't banned, it's suspended. I said same thing. Guess what? Look at there.
It got banned.
It got banned. It's too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rebalancing changes, which is bag of tricks. It's just something I want to, let's just cover the bans first.
Okay.
Let's cover the bans first.
Right there.
Tybalt's Trickery. I feel like they need to test these cards more, because Tybalt's Trickery can be fixed really easily. What's the fix? Counter target spell and opponent controls. That's it. There. It does the actual function, but it also, you know, can get you value. It's like,
yeah, it does.
It's an easy fix, which is hilarious.
But you know that they're not going to fix it.
No, they're not going to fix it, because it's printed in paper, which goes back to the rebalancing cards. Like, I don't feel like I need to talk about Brainstorm being banned. We know why it's banned. Brainstorm is a broken card, 1 mana instant.
Yes.
It's like 1 blue mana, draw 3 cards, put 2 on top from your hand in any order. So you put them on the top of your library in any order. And Memory Lapse, I can understand why it's a 2 mana counter spell that slows down the game, because the card you tried to cast goes on the top of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that one. But Brainstorm is just too strong. Memory Lapse just being by just the fact of being 2 mana might be like strong enough. I don't remember what deck runs it specifically, but okay.
I think the first card.
The other page had the what's it called, the old version and the new version. The other page you were on.
Oh wait, I think if we put this here, we get both versions. Let me see. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. There it is. So these are the rebalanced cards. These are digital only. They're the only cards in Arena, and they're like it's the first set of rebalancing. Mm-hmm. So Gabrielle's Withering. Before it said it was one in a black. That would deal one black. It was an instant. Target creature perpetually gets -1/-2. And now it's target creature and opponent controls perpetually gets -1/-2. If you don't remember what perpetually means, is a perpetual because it's an arena only mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
It basically says that it'll always have that no matter what zone it is in. Then we have Davriel's Soul Broker. All three of his abilities, the two of his abilities, the first two are fine, is the last one. The last one reads, -3, target creature and perpetually gets -3/-3. But now it reads, -3, target creature and opponent's control perpetually gets -3/-3.
Yep.
Then we have Faceless Agent. He is a three colorless mana for a 2/2 changeling. He used to read, when Faceless Agent enters the battlefield. I don't know, actually, he doesn't have a rules text change.
No, he just changed a 2/2 now.
He changes from a 2/1 to a 2/2.
There you go, Sarkin.
Then, exactly, his Sarkin. Okay. I don't know what? Why. Yourself, because any wizard product or any wizard has a problem with marking cards. I don't know why it always just shows Selfless Kazar, no matter what the card is. So basically, the plus one, like his second plus one ability, used to be a +0. Now it's a +1.
Conjure a card named Sarkin Shivan Dragon into your hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have Subversive Acolyte, and he has just a lot of stuff. So the mana cost changed from black to one and a black. The power and toughness changed from a 2/2, now it's a 2/3. The first mode, power and toughness adjustment, is from +1/+2 to +1/+1. Then could you move so I can read the rest? There you go. Second mode, power and toughness adjustments is +3/+3 from +2/+2, and the net effect of the power and toughness change is the same. It will either be a 3/4 or a 5/5. This change makes it have 3 toughness instead of 2 until the ability resolves. So basically, it's a base 2/3 for 2 mana, which is really, really, mm-hmm. really, really good. It's just very like versatile type card. So okay, let's talk about a little problem with these. So the reason Davriel and Davriel's Soul Broker and Davriel's Withering were changed was because there's a infinite combo, a truly infinite combo. So meaning if you found a way to eliminate the thing that would kill you, the game just stalls and you just it's a draw, an automatic draw, because it is absolutely infinite. There's nothing you can do about it. So okay. Vesperlark is a creature. It's a 1 and I think it's a 2/1, right? It's a 2/1, and when you gave it -1/-2, it would become a 1/0. Well, it would die. Vesperlark's ability said whenever it died, you bring back a creature that had power 1 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield. So basically, you brought back Vesperlark itself because it now had perpetually, it was perpetually a 1/0.
And then you keep.
And it just dies. It brings back and dies and brings back and dies and brings back and dies.
Okay.
And it dies forever and it comes back forever. There's nothing you can do about it. It'll happen. Unless there's other targets, that's another way to make it not infinite, but for the most part, yeah, that's it. So you paired that with any die trigger, any creature with a die trigger, and just gain life. And you were in white black, so you had access to those cards, and you just won the game.
Correct.
So that's one of the reasons it got changed. The second reason was people were using that combo to draw the game if they knew they can't win. So if they can't win, they would just do the combo anyways, and it would draw the game, because since it's a true infinite, you automatically draw.
Yeah.
So that was a problem. So my problem with their change, and it's not my problem specifically because I am not affected directly because I do not play Arena, but my problem is that people spent wild cards to get these cards. And now, because they are changed, they are no longer the cards these people wanted. They should get a refund. Or at least the option for a refund. Because if you had a good, like the white-black historic deck with four Davriels, that's four mythic wild cards.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's a lot. That's a lot in Arena economy.
Yep.
Which goes back to the saying how Arena's wild card economy is unsustainable, and they need to fix it. This is just one of the things that just a little thing that just kind of messes with it. But for the most part, they need to fix it, and something like it's very pressing if they want to keep expanding Arena. I enjoy that this is like Davriel's Withering and all these balance changes. So I enjoy them for the most part, as in for paper Magic, they're gonna be printing more balanced cards, and they will have a like this is just like in a way playtest material for actual sets that come out in Standard.
Yeah.
Because you can test new mechanics, you could test like what works, what doesn't. There was a really hot take that I really hated, that really made no sense to me, but said that at this point, paper Magic is a crutch for digital Magic. It was like, oof, I feel like that's a bad take. But the person who said the take was his reason was that these like when you find broken stuff in paper Magic, it's there and it's not gonna change. But like very few things have like very specific erratas, so for the most part it cannot change, and that's why like I guess it's like, you know, that makes sense. But for the most part, I think it's a bad take.
Okay. So let's go to one of the main topics that we have tonight. That it's that small little issue. Give me one second, because I wanted to have something while we talk about that. Let me go ahead and do this. Put this and I forgot how to add the. There we go. Okay, so. Let's talk about one of the most interesting things that is that it's the Midnight Hunt set. This set it comes with a theme that it's werewolves. That's what they were, that Wizard of the Coast mentioned, that this was going to be a werewolf theme. Plus, we had another additional cards. We had humans, we had vampires, and whatnot. We have a new mechanic that it's day and night. And the most interesting thing is that a lot of people are saying that this set and the upcoming set, that it's Crimson Vow, these sets are not monetarily gainful. So if you buy right now a set booster box that recently one of our friends Chris, he sends us a list, I think it was Chris or Orengo, they send us a link from Reddit that the set booster boxes from 130 that they are MSRP, they went down to $75. Because I think there was like a special running out, or they went on that price. And plus, we have friends that have bought booster boxes, and you and I know that they did not cover the price, the value of the box. Plus, there's this YouTuber called the MTG or the Magic Historian. He mentions that in the future, for the future of Magic, these two sets are going to affect, they're going to affect the meta in Standard, and as well, he says that it's going to affect the monetary gain of the card game. What do you think about that, JP?
So, just like you said, the monetary is like, it's not viable, but also it's on the high end and very like either hit or miss. There's cards that are very, very hot right now and very like expensive. So if you get those good cards, but you need to get the mass majority of them. Otherwise, it's just not good money wise, and just not you're not gonna be able to be spending as much. And also because of the themed set version of this, one thing I want to mention is everything is gonna be divided. As in, let's say now, so we've this is the first time we've had the double feature with two different sets, but being the same, and technically the same thing, they're just separated. It's just two sets, and they're relatively close to each other because usually the sets, there's more time in between proper sets. The cards that come out in these sets define Magic for a while, and then after that the next set comes and those will define the set for a while, and then when the next set comes out, which is what, when's the next set coming out? In like late January, February?
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
So the time period between sets, because of this specific set, is a bit shorter. Because November, then you just get December, and then already in January. So one thing
you
is
get
like
Crimson Vow.
Yeah, like Crimson Vow coming down in November. So the time between the sets and the cards coming out will affect the meta. That's normal for every set. Well, the reason this specific set is like is gonna affect more so is because of that timing. So decks are forming now that'll probably change in November, that'll probably change in January because of the time. So making as like actually deciding to join Standard now and making a deck now is either very good or very bad, because if you finish your deck and then new cards come, you're gonna be spending a lot more.
Yeah.
You're gonna keep on spending because maybe your deck just a new deck comes out and it just beats your old deck, and now your old deck is like so bad that it's not even viable. You have to make another deck, and then that when you it's like because you made one in Midnight Hunt, now you're gonna make one in Crimson Vow. Mm-hmm. But then again, the same problem, because then you need to make one for the next one. It's just this specific three sets because they're going to be so close together. Because at least the timing is like a month, 2 months. It's like a month and a half between. So
they didn't give us time to breathe. Well, at least I don't play Standard anymore. I only play Standard in Arena, and in Arena you don't need to like waste money to get the cards that you want. Just grind and get the wild cards, and then you finish up the deck. But at least it hurts as me as a past Standard player. If I would still be playing Standard, it would hurt me a lot because the waste of money is too much, and the cards sometimes the prices go too high. Reason why I haven't bought Renin 7 is because Renin 7 is a $40 card, and with $40 I can buy two fetch lands. You know, I know that they're not the what was Onslaught fetch lands, but at least they're Cons of Tarkir fetch lands. But again, you know, it's what one prefers, price or value.
Just in case, the concept art ones are, I think, expensive now.
There are expensive ones.
And the other ones are the not expensive one, expensive ones.
Oh God, no way! I'm gonna Google that. I mean, not Google. I'm gonna go to TCG Player right now. Let's see.
For the most part, it's just the timing, the money, the monetary value you gain from the set is just everything's just slightly off. And because everything's slightly off, everything's like off in general.
Okay, look at this. So Bloodstained Mire, the Concept Art Cure one, now from, it was a very cheap card.
It was like 11, it was like between 11 and 20 and
$30.
See, it's $30.
Yeah, like literally, if you want, let me first, before I say the idiocy that I was going to say, let me see. Okay, yeah, literally, if you want, let me check. Yeah, literally, for what you're paying, $50 for the non-foil almost. $470 or six or almost $75, you can get the foil one. That's the one with the Zendikar Expeditions. Oh, wow. Damn, they went up in price. Jesus. And then Polluted Delta, always impossible to buy.
Yes, such is the nature of magic.
Yeah. That's why it's something that it gets me a little bit mad, because Standard has become a format that you as a MTG player is when you say, okay, either I get the value in what I have in cards, or do I start building, or do I play a format that I can use literally the history of magic? Because it ends up being that. You know, if you're a commander player, you'll end up with like five commanders, but it's because you want to have different power levels to play with your friends.
And different play styles.
Exactly. You know, let's put an example, me. I had Golos, now I had to change, but I still have elves that's token based. I have the fun one that is the one that is Venture the Dungeon. That's Misty Rainforest.
Yeah.
That's amazing fetch
land. Yeah, I got one. It's
foil etched or foil?
Foil.
It's foil.
It's actually, it's just $3 more.
Yeah,
like these are actually cheap, right?
That's
now.
Why
these are actually cheap.
Yeah, like that's why I was like, I like old bordered cards, so that's why I was like, wow, I should one day like sit down and buy like the foiled etch, old bordered ones. But again, it's something that I would recommend if you're not going to play Standard or Pioneer or Modern, play Commander. I know that we say it a lot, but Commander lets you play different playstyles. You can play with the history of magic. And as well, Arimesa. I have Orengo's Arimesa here still. Literally. Where is it? Still have it here.
Nice.
Yeah. So, the other thing that it is, for example, let's say that you need an expensive card like Grimm's Monolith. If you buy Grimm's Monolith in the endgame,
you can use it in Commander. That's one.
Exactly, you can use it in Commander. That's one. But as well, if you're tight on money, it's an easy card to flip again and make your money's worth. So, you know, it that's why I know that a lot of people don't like to hear like, oh, play Commander, only play Commander. But in the end game, your Commander can be an easy flip to make money again and either invest in another Commander or just use it for anything that you need personal. So it's just my take. But in this issue with this, with these sets, it's kind of sad that Wizard of the Coast they don't know where they're going at with these future sets, and I just hope that they that after Crimson Vow we don't get this crazy every 1 or 2 months we get a new set, because people are not going to be able to buy the cards again. It happened with Modern Horizons 2, it happened with Time Spiral, and it happened with Midnight Hunt. It was a set behind another set, and they didn't give us a chance to breathe.
And there's gonna be now with Crimson Bow and the next one, which is the Streets of the of Nuke. I forgot the
specific Kamigawa.
Is it Kamigawa? The one in January?
Think so. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Cyberpunk Kamigawa edition.
Yeah, Cyberpunk Kamigawa, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And yeah.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Too much product, so little time, no time to breathe. And it does not only affect us, it affects local game stores. That's something, that's a big oof. What do you think?
Because local game stores I don't think they get affected as much as the player. Because at least in this specific, like having the rotating need for product is actually, I feel like, beneficial for a local game store. Because they have surplus of the product and they can keep on selling the previous product, and people are still interested in the previous set. People are still looking for Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. Some people are still looking for Modern Horizons. Like,
yeah,
having that rotating selection of product might actually be good for the specific local game store, which is nice, because you know they finally get like a W. It's like they get a win.
Yeah.
Considering Wizards of the Coast has been just removing stuff from them.
That's completely true. That's completely true. So, JP, do we have anything else to talk about tonight?
Not really. Unless you want to talk about my fancy my soon to be. This is Lowness, new commander.
Oh, God.
I hope you make your Super Friends decks, so I can just play this and steal your Super Friends. I want to play with your commander, with your Planeswalkers. I don't own a single, like, a good I own the good Planeswalkers, but I don't own, like, you know, really, really good Planeswalkers. So I'll just use yours.
Yeah, I think I'm going to change it up a little bit. I think I'm going to continue having the guild gates just to have like an additional win condition.
You run Amulet of Vigor, right?
Yeah, I do.
Then yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. You just have Amulet of Vigor with the gates and Mace's End, and that's just like an alternate way to win. Just naturally, just may have it.
Exactly. So
I really do suggest Joda.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was going a lot of people. I was checking online. A lot of the decks that I've seen are with Essica, but
Essica is really good.
Yeah, but the thing is that with Essica, I have to change the commander to a token-based commander. With Elsbeth, I didn't see like a. It's still a Super Friends commander, but they're all token based. You know, they all create tokens and they have them doubling season.
To protect Essica? Planeswalkers?
It's just for one of the win conditions, and there's not that much like 1-1 combos. So that's why I was going to leaning forward to Joda, because Joda gives me the insight of playing just Uber. And if I do have, let's say, this card, Chromatic Lantern or Joiners Adept, I can just pay the 5 colors for all of my Planeswalkers. So it's a better commander, and only costs 4 mana. I still like Essica, but I like Essica more as her enchantment form,
yeah,
than her creature form. So I'm still thinking of which other Planeswalkers I will be switching up to make it a more aggressive. I play a Planeswalker, and that Planeswalker does like either remove a card or gives me cards. So that will be the new thing that I'm going to be trying out with the planeswalkers that I already have. So let's see how it goes.
I look forward to playing with your planeswalkers.
Yes. And plus, the other change that I'm going to do is that I'm going to change those flip lands from Zendikar and Kaldheim, change them to my shock lands. I do like them, but I have shock lands, so I'm going to start adding them in. And then little by little, I'll buy fetch lands to have only like 5 basics, but for now, just the shock lands.
I suggest having more basics.
Yeah, I think I have like around 10 basics.
That's enough. That's enough.
You know. Yeah. That's still like one of the things that I'm doing to upgrade my commander. Then after I finish that upgrade, then I'm gonna go back to my elves commander. I want to finish that commander well. I still think it's pretty slow being an elves commander.
Yeah, you need the good elves. Be faster.
Yeah, and then from there, I think what's the other commander I have? Oh, the Venture the Dungeon one. That's just for fun.
It's good. One of the reasons I'm making this deck is I need a lower power commander, because Ozgear, the strategy with Ozgear is very low powered. But you saw what I did. I went land Soul Ring, Mana Vault, Manifold Key, tap Manifold Key, cast something, draw a card, play something else. The next turn I played Ozgear, I passed a turn, and then the next turn, since my turn was so explosive, everyone just so afraid of me. But all I did was like, I attack you.
Yeah.
Pass.
Okay. Yeah. Now remember, the other commander that I'm building is the Shatterfangs one, but that one I'm building little by little. Because that commander is very expensive.
Yeah, because all those cards just shot up in price.
Exactly. So I'm building that one little by little because two of the squirrel cards. One of them costs like $130 and the other one costs like $70. So that one, I'm just like, I'll keep it proxy and little by little buy the other cards that I need, because that's the other commander that I would like to have the same treatment as the Golos commander, that it has like the full arts and everything. So that's why I just want to do that one little by little. Because cards are mad expensive. Even though Doubling Season has another reprint in Double Master, it's still an expensive card. So it's ridiculous. But hey, so it's like I said, you buy a Doubling Seasons or two Doubling Seasons, you can sell one, keep one, and you make your money's back, or your money's worth. You know, that's a good thing about Commander. You know. But so JP, that is the end of all of our topics. Where can they find you?
You can find me here in the Cardboard Cave podcast, hopefully with more content. But more importantly, where can they find you?
So they can find everybody. You guys can find me as BigBoss117PR. I do live streams every Monday and every Wednesday. I will be testing out a new platform called Trove. So I will be still in my normal two platforms as YouTube and Facebook, and I will be including Trove as well. So you can find me there as BigBoss117PR. And this next Monday, I will be having a new episode of my show in at the Movie Guy, up, left, right. I will be talking about the movie Tomb Raider with Alicia Vikander's portraying Lara Croft. I will be talking about the good, the bad, and why the issue with fans and Alicia Vikander's being Lara Croft. I'm really excited because they already she made a statement recently in an interview that they are working the stunts for the second movie. So I'm super excited for this second Tomb Raider film. Where else? You can find me in Subtitles Required with Orengo. We still haven't recorded our next two episodes. We will be recording them this month, like that you guys can have an episode this month and an episode next month. really quickly and fast. The thing is that we haven't been able to coordinate the time to record, but we will record those episodes. And actually, here at the Cardboard Cave, remember, you can follow us at YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch now. So go ahead, check in one of our platforms, hit that follow button or like button, and go ahead and follow our content. You can find Orengo at Cinemas Podcast. I don't know if he's finished yet, but he was doing a live today talking about Halloween Kills. So go ahead. And as well, you can find them at 15 and Richport in Scene and Nerds. That I think that tomorrow they do have an episode, or the next Saturday. And sometimes you can find them in the After School Club. Where else can... where else? Oh, Chris. Crisscross 13.
13. Yeah, you can find him at Crisscross 13 in Twitch. I don't think he's been streaming recently. But last time he was streaming, I think I mentioned he was either Dark Souls 3 or Sekiro. He was enjoying those. I think he was Resident Evil as well. Those type of games. You can find him there. He's just a really random schedule. He'll just plug on, play, and just stream for a while.
Exactly. So we might, like I mentioned before, so we will be planning more content for you guys due to the fact that we have now an easy platform to do all of our streams that can be Twitch. So we will see you guys in the next one. Message from our gladly gorgeous LGS. Hey geeks, do you love comics, collectibles, and TCG? Well, here at Cardboard Cave, we have the place for you. Pass by Capitan Granuja Comics and Games and find all your favorite geeky items there. Look for them at Facebook or Instagram, or call them at 787-659-7003. A store blessed by Nicole Bolas.